Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is Friday. Note, it's Friday, August 19th.
TGIF, right? Everyone.
There you go. For those who don't know, my favorite day. What's your favorite day?
I like a good hump day, not going to lie.
You do like a good hump day.
Yeah, I got some good, it's a good bookend for the, I like it. I'm looking forward, I had, you know.
Yeah, so it's sort of like, yeah, you're halfway through the week.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, my rationale is that tomorrow I'm off,
yeah,
and the next day I'm off.
Oh, well, Friday's great.
So, yeah, Fridays are cool, yeah. You know, they're easy days.
Friday's like your, like stoner uncle that's just always around but not doing much.
Yeah.
That's Friday to me.
Yeah, right?
Awesome.
There you go. So, what's going on this morning? You feeling good? Did you get a nice rest yesterday?
I did. Awesome. We woke up to more Lochte news.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about that this morning, and I was like, there's something going on.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well,
remember, because we said the judge was going to, do search and a search on their things.
Yeah,
whatever.
Like, yeah. So
Lochte was already here in the United
States.
Yeah,
Lochte had made it out, and two of them were escorted off the plane right before they were attempting to leave, and one never showed up. But Lochte made an apology today for fabricating part of the story, and said that if you don't know the story, he said he was held up at gunpoint and with a gun cocked at his head. And he was made to give up his wallet, his money, and blah, blah, blah. And there was a big uproar, and they went to go find out. And it turns out there's video footage of Lochte drunk with his buddy, swim buddies. And they are pissing on a wall at a gas station. Mm. And the gas station guy's like, hey, let's not do that. That's pretty rude. And they get violent and, like, kick down the door. And then the people come with a gun and say, you need to pay for the damage. And they give him $50, and then they leave.
Mm.
So he shouldn't have said anything.
Right.
It's so dumb. They're calling him Swim Shady, which I really like.
Really?
It's
wow.
Very funny.
So he was probably going to try and beat him to it. Sort of like, if he had been found out, then he would have said, you know, yeah, I was robbed and all that stuff.
Totally.
Wow.
In the Times, it said that they said specifically at the State Department when they got done with it, don't say anything, this will be hidden. And Lochte walked across the street to Ipanema Beach and was like, hey, dude, I got robbed at gunpoint.
Whoa.
They're like, don't do that. So he was not smart.
That's a disgrace, man.
And
that's
he's 32. Man. He's not a kid who was, like,
right,
dumb enough. This isn't.
They were drunk.
Oh, yeah. And they also weren't supposed to be out drinking, which is why he tried to sort of fabricate it in the first place.
Right.
But, man, not good, man.
Not good, huh?
No.
People self-destruct. I don't understand that.
No.
You know?
He also said at the Olympics, if Michael Phelps weren't there, I'd be the Michael Phelps.
Really?
And I'm like, but Michael Phelps is there.
Right. And he kicked your ass.
And he kicked your ass several times. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Lochte. But, you know, and I think Brazilians did the right thing. They wanted their country not to look
bad.
Yeah. And, you know, they got shaded and they were like, this didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, God, what a douche.
Well, they got on top of that one. So,
oh, God.
There you go.
There's an interesting story because Gabby Douglas, that everyone was upset, she didn't put her hand on her heart for the American flag.
Really?
People went apeshit
really?
Over that. And everyone's like, oh, Lochte. He just made up some gun robbery story. I'm like, there is sort of a double standard.
Right.
Female, male. He gets away with it while she's publicly shamed.
Wow.
Which is pretty outrageous. She's only 22. And she didn't. Yeah. She represents U.S. My
right.
God.
So why did she put her hand up?
She was just doing. You don't have to. It's just she was looking and singing. And I don't know. But everyone went. I was like, give me a hoot and a holler.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know what's going on, man. It's a lot of crazy things are going on. We have a couple of special guests in the studio. We'll get to them in just a moment. And is there any other news, like any new dumb things that Trump has said?
So his campaign manager, Paul Manafort, has been fired today.
Really?
Yes. So that because he found this, I feel like I'm writing a comic, like a joke, a satire, like a sketch for my Groundlings team. He was found to have Ukraine and Russian ties, and they were trying to alter basically the U.S. You know, they were basically trying to create momentum through Russia and Ukraine and making Hillary look bad. So it's not good.
No,
it's real bad.
I mean, You know, I have no words, you know. Yeah. All I'm telling you is the Republican Party were totally lost. And like I said, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, but
no.
But we'll see.
You need, like, a rock star to come out
right.
to save you guys.
Right. I know.
You need, like, Alec Baldwin. Isn't he Republican or someone?
I think
Bruce
so.
Willis? Is Bruce Willis?
I don't know.
Someone
they've all
like
changed.
That.
They've
yeah.
all flipped.
Because yeah. no one's crazy.
We know Clint Eastwood is still there. So.
Oh, yeah. You guys see Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. He'll be president.
He'll talk
Hell,
to
he, was,
yeah.
he was the mayor of Carmel.
He was.
So.
He's going to talk to empty chairs and pass bills. That's what he'll do. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is a joke, folks. That is a joke. So I just I wanted to recap. I went to a memorial service yesterday, and that was very touching,
yeah.
you know. And I usually don't go to things like this because they really depress me. Mm-hmm. But I really know the guy, you know, and I felt bad and stuff. Mm-hmm. And plus, he didn't have to walk through the coffin and mm-hmm, everything, the mm-hmm. casket, mm-hmm. you know, but which is very morbid to mm-hmm. me, you know. I mean, having grown up Jewish, they don't Jews don't do that, mm-mm. you know. Mm-mm. So you're walking by a dead body, and it's like, my God, you know, I'm mm-hmm. not used to this.
But it's like the traditions are just wildly different. But if you're used to, yeah. I remember walking into an open casket for the first time when I was very little, and no one warned me. Because I'm Jewish, too, and I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, right?
He's right there!
Yeah.
But for some, that's very calming and a good way to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's very
true.
Different.
But it's weird where they stuff the body and stuff, mm-hmm, you know?
Mm-hmm. I want to look good. I want to look thin. I want them to de-stuff. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, she looks svelte.
Well, he was cremated. There was an urn, and that was the end of that. But there was nice eulogies and things like that.
That's lovely.
I talked about him and stuff. So.
That's nice. Sometimes yeah, it's good to show up to those things.
Yeah, you yeah. know, and I mean, he had a very interesting life. He didn't have much as far as material things, mm-hmm. but he loved his music. He loved people. It was really cool, you know. And I told him there, I said, you know, I tend to prejudge people. But he never would, you know. Mm. I mean, he, like, befriended everybody, mm-hmm. you know. And that's why he became close with the homeless and stuff, and he wanted to get more involved in that even. But that never materialized because he passed away prematurely.
Mm.
But so that was that. Okay, so let's move to some happier things. And we're going to bring in our guest right now. And hold on just a second. Let me bring up all the stuff. Okay. So we have Rob and Avery Clyde in
Woo-hoo!
The studio. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Are you guys Angelinos? Do you live here?
We do. We live in South Pasadena.
Oh, cool.
So other side of L.A. But yeah.
Yeah. Were you both born and raised here?
Virginia.
Virginia.
Ooh, East Coast.
Both of you?
Both
oh,
of
yeah.
Is We're that where you met in Virginia?
We met in high school in Northern Virginia, right
Are
outside
you serious?
Of D.C. Yeah.
So you're like high school sweethearts?
Get out.
No.
Not quite high school sweethearts, but we sat next to each other in Spanish class.
Well, amore!
I was Elena.
I'm from D.C. Which high school?
Parkview High
Parkview
School.
High
oh, I went
school.
To Georgetown Day School.
Okay. Yeah.
Hello, right. Neighbor. Hello,
Loudoun
neighbor.
County outside.
Yeah, Loudoun County. That's you guys were always closed for snow days.
Oh, yeah.
They'd
the
always start with Loudoun. I'm like, why can't I live in Loudoun County?
Yeah.
God, my school was never closed. We probably played each other in, like, lacrosse
yeah.
or something.
Probably.
Crazy.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
So, so how did it work out? I mean, you were in high school, and then you sort of, like, went your own ways or something, or what
Well,
happened?
He was driving pizzas for Domino's.
Hot.
And I was slapping pizzas because I was too young to drive, and that was just too alluring for him to turn it away.
So
the
maybe,
Joe slapping.
There you go.
Exactly. So maybe, like, I don't know, three stayed friends, and then 3 or 4 years later, we were both in college, and we saw each other one summer and started dating, and that was a long time ago.
Wow,
we've
how cool is that?
Together yeah. ever since. Yeah.
Very cool.
That's amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Slapping so, dough.
Slapping yeah. dough and driving.
Sometimes you
pizzas.
See people are meant for each other, but they don't know it yet until
right.
later in life or something, you know, so they have to wait a few years.
And in L.A., we're an
yeah.
anomaly. So
Absolutely.
That's, like,
that's
wow.
true, right?
Yeah, we've been married for 20 years. 21
wow,
in a couple of weeks.
Mazel tov.
Thank
wow.
you.
That's amazing.
And how long have you guys been here in L.A.?
15 years.
15 years. So this is home for you now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so were you guys working together before, back in Virginia?
Avery's been an actress ever since I've known her. She was at our high school. She was in all the theater productions and the lead in Our Town and, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
So I've
and
been at this racket since I've been, since I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
And I was more of a jock. And just, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. But thanks to her, I kind of got into theater a little bit. And when we moved to L.A., started just producing our own stuff. And and getting into this business. My brother, Ben, is my directing and writing and producing partner.
The Clyde Brothers, right?
Is kind of how we mark ourselves. So this is the first time we've worked on a project of this magnitude together, for sure. And it worked out great. I mean, but I've been running lines with her for the last 15 years as well. Every audition, hey, you need to work. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you can get somebody else to do that.
My husband's like, really? I have to read another one of these?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've been, I think we're going to do more together this last project.
We really didn't know how it would go. I mean, everything, the bulk of their work is mostly comedy stuff, to be honest. So this was the first dramatic narrative.
So you guys created a film that's a dramatic film and heavy stuff, right?
I mean, yes, it's called If I Could Tell You. It's about the world of underground black market fertility. And I play this character named Abby, who's so desperate to have a baby that she goes into that underground world unbeknownst to her husband to make her dream come true.
Wow. And so she's married and everything, but she does this behind his back.
Yes.
Wow.
Is this a real thing, this black market?
This is more than a real thing.
Really?
It is it is rampant globally.
Wow.
I mean, there are
and I'd like to get to that, and we'll talk more about that when we discuss the film a little more in detail. But I wanted to get a little background. So the film is a 35-minute drama, right? And is that considered a short film?
It is considered a short film, but what it's considered is,
because many of the ones we've seen are like 15 minutes, so that's why
ours is way too long for like festivals and things. We were luckily just in Holly Short's festival here in LA that closes tonight, actually, the award ceremony tonight.
Good luck.
Thank you. We debuted at Nashville Film Festival, but we are a tough programming for festivals because we're 35 minutes. So yes, it's a short, but it's a long short. We did it mainly as we want to develop it into a television show. And so what we want to do is show proof of concept for about, we did it about 35 minutes. So it wasn't the easiest, it's not the easiest thing to market, so to speak, but it's doing really well, and we're getting some good reviews from it, for sure.
Very cool. Now, so was that a consideration when you guys planned to make a 35-minute film? I mean, did you think of the distribution at that point?
Well, oddly enough, we got distribution, so that wasn't a problem. It really is just with festivals. It's a programming issue. But the 35 minutes is a full story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually a new world of distribution with video on demand. So we have a distributor that is distributing us on Amazon and
That's
iTunes
awesome.
And all these places. Think about it. When you sit down and at the end of the day and you're going to watch some TV, to watch a two-hour movie these days,
I can't
stay awake. I have kids, right? And so now we binge on our shows. And I go, I can get one more episode of Breaking Bad in, or I can get one more episode of Mr. Robot in. So we think that there's a new market for this kind of 35-minute
It's like the sweet spot.
Yeah, we're hoping to. But there's some convincing to do, and we're kind of plowing. We're kind of the head of the arrow on that right now.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Now, so a little bit background, Rob. So you got into theater and drama and all this thing. When did you decide I'm going to get into film?
Sure. So my brother and I, we do commercials mostly. That's our production company is called Squint Pictures, and we do commercials and branded entertainment online. Mm-hmm. But we really want to do dramatic television and film. That's what our passion is. That's why we came to L.A. We want to do film and television. Nobody puts up with L.A. unless they have a real dream, right?
So
to
true.
Work and so we were always looking for the right material to do. And then Avery and I went through our own personal fertility story, our own thing, and that just sparked the whole idea.
It opened up like a whole new world for you. Wow.
It did. I don't even think we knew kind of what we were opening up until after the movie was made and we got the response that we did. But the Richardsons, Kevin Richardson, who's in the movie with me, were going through infertility at the same exact time.
Oh, my God.
So, and we had been friends for years, and we could feel it. You could feel like, wow, this is so cinematic because the stakes are so high that it just was like, here we have these.
It's almost the
artists.
Ultimate drama, right?
Seriously.
It's just so personal for people, and it's so silent. People don't talk about it.
We didn't, just to clarify, we didn't do black market underground fertility.
Let's put that out there. I think you did. Let's get that right. In the clear.
It seems like you're a critic of that market.
We
so
did.
I get the
we learned about that after the fact. And actually, credit goes to Kevin Richardson. So Kevin's one of the Backstreet Boys.
And yeah, right, he is.
And he can act. And he, again, we were friends with him. And I'd seen him in some things. And the guy commits to a role. And I said, we should do a movie about fertility. But how can we make it not a Lifetime chick flick, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, melodramatic?
Right, we love that. Yeah. Yeah.
But we didn't want that, to right. be honest. And we all know what that means, you know, sappy and just
a little cheesy.
We want something compelling and something that can launch us in our directing career and our writing career into more HBO-like stuff. Mm-hmm. Kevin calls me one day and says, I just saw a 2020 special on this underworld of black market fertility and these guys that are giving away their sperm to women that can't afford it or to couples that can't afford the... I mean, let's face it, infertility in this country and in this city is prices out a whole group of people in this country that
thousands
still can't have
thousands
babies.
Thousands of dollars.
Right. In our film, the first line in our films is when you first see a fertility specialist, the first thing they do is tell you that you're broken. Then they tell you your options.
Wow.
And then in our film, the couple has spent about $100,000 trying to get pregnant. They've officially stopped trying.
Yeah.
It is all too common. And at the same time, we don't condone or recommend people go underground and meet with guys at hotel rooms or at Starbucks and start swapping their sperm. Right. But it's an inevitability that it's there, and we shine a light on it.
Right. So there are two main characters, the husband and the wife in the film. And you played the wife, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say really in this film, it's the wife and the sperm donor are the two.
Oh,
main
I see.
Characters.
So the husband is not a main character here?
He's not a main character. He's in it, but he's the one that she's not telling. So
right. She goes away for the weekend.
Oh, wow.
To make this happen and make sure that it stays anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So, yeah, I mean, I want to really get into the details of this. But is the film going to be shown around here in town?
We've had a few great screenings.
Yeah.
One at the Downtown Independent that was sold out with this line around the block. It was crazy. We had
the
whole fertility community came out. Wow. And Dr. Suri and Dr. Paul Turek came and, like, talked about fertility and the state of it and had great talk back afterwards. And then, obviously, we were just at Holly Shorts and the Nashville Film Festival. And
So right now, people can go right now on iTunes and they can download it. Or if they have Amazon or, like, Cox Cable, Verizon,
Google
Fios.
Play.
Most of the places, Google Play, that you can get movies online, you can get, if I could tell you.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. So you've made
it
available in quite a few places.
Yeah.
I know sometimes with shorts, you know, the people come on the show and they're saying, yeah, you have to go to the festivals to see it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I'll never see it that way.
No, we're really lucky. Everybody, it's distributed right now and it's global. And if I could tell you, movie.com is our website. It's kind of the hub for everything for the film. International people can watch and get the film through our website. Again, if I could tell you, movie.com.
And I went there and looked at their trailer, and man, Kevin Richardson, I mean, can act.
Yeah.
You were unbelievable, but I was like, oh, here comes the Backstreet Boy. And then I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, we're getting, he's getting great reviews.
Wow.
He's getting great press over it. People are impressed. We're saying it's a breakout performance. He's done a couple of films already. He played like a gay vampire in one that was
awesome. the second film that we'd done together. So we kind of knew,
yeah,
we're like,
right.
You had chemistry then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of knew, like, okay, he's going to bring it. People are going to be surprised, and it's going to be great for him because he's an artist in general.
He is, and Kevin's also he's from Kentucky. He's a gentleman, first and foremost. That's a great way to describe him. He's a great dad. He's a great husband, and he brought that character. He brought a customer service-oriented gentleman who meets this woman in a hotel room and wants her to help her get pregnant. And so he brought himself to it. There's definitely a twist, though, when he kind of turns on her a little bit and gets scary, and that's what proves that he can act.
Wow.
Yeah.
Drama.
It's kind of nice. Drama.
I was so excited about that, though, to see him in a substantial role with some real stakes. That was so cool.
It's kind of nice to see his fans come out.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, was the line wrapped around a lot of Backstreet Boy fans or no? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Straight up signs. Yeah. We have a half an hour drama. We have like the top fertility specialists in Beverly Hills there to endorse the film and everything. But we had girls just with signs going, Kevin!
Yes, we love you!
And it was
what a cool mix.
Yeah, and it was only like $7.50 for people to go. We just did it as an LA premiere, and we knew Kevin could be there. And so when we promote that Kevin's going to be there, usually
you get attention.
Yeah,
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Now let's give a plug to your brother. What's his name?
His name is Ben.
Okay.
So Ben Clyde, and we do everything together. We co-write. We sit up and just talk about great ideas and how we can implement them. And
great. Is he younger, or older than you?
He's younger than me.
He's younger than you.
Yeah, there's five Clyde kids.
Really?
Wow.
I'm the oldest. Uh-huh. Then we have a brother that's back in Virginia still. In between us, and then Ben and I are about 7 years apart, and then we have twin sisters that are younger.
Oh, wow.
So 7 years, and you guys still connected very well.
We do. We have the same sense of humor. We kind of think the same things are cool, the same sensibilities about politics, religion, that sort of thing. So that's good.
In their partnership, it really is a great yin and yang.
Really?
Like at the same time,
he has such assets are totally different when they're directing.
At the same time, it's
perfect.
Awful to be partners with your brother. And he moved to LA. He was in New York doing more documentary stuff, and he moved to LA about 6 years ago. And I remember us going to a 7-Eleven and getting a coffee and going, oh, look, we make our coffee the same way.
No.
It's a cream with three Splenda and a thing. And it was like such an innocent relationship at that time. And now we literally work hard to not see each other whenever possible.
That's right.
So he's actually flying to today's his birthday. Or no, yesterday was his birthday. Yesterday. He's flying to Orlando.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Happy birthday, Ben.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
How about you, Avery? Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have one older brother who's like into computer tech
so
kind
different.
Of stuff.
And back
like
in Virginia.
So different. Back in Virginia where my family is still.
Yeah.
All lives there.
And you've always been the creative type, so.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's
my dad is a closet actor. My mom is a closet painter. So it's in there.
Really?
It's in there.
But, I mean, do you feel also like if you weren't an actress, you don't know what else you'd be doing? Like, is that the only thing that...
No, you know, I've been at this so long, I would probably be a writer or a producer or a director. I mean, I'd be somewhere in that world.
Yeah, in that realm, yeah. Wow, sounds very good.
How was it to direct your wife? Was it weird?
It's a great story. There's a minor sex scene in our movie. It was amazing. The pre-production side of things... it's just her and I sitting up at night, getting the kids in bed, and just talking about who this character is and or, you know, what's coming from my heart and her heart. And kind of, we didn't have to do any rehearsals together. She lived half of this story. Mm-hmm. The inspiration of it was already in there. I think we both just trusted each other.
We didn't know this could go terribly.
But when our scene came up, which is, and it's not with Kevin, it's actually with the husband.
Yeah.
Ironically, we're filming it in my house, but we had moved our mattress from upstairs down to our living room for lighting and stuff. And I remember saying to my brother, okay, so when this happens, maybe I'm going to go away. And
I don't want to watch this.
Be a little weird, you know, whatever. Sure enough, when we get there, though, we're framing up the camera, and it's beautiful, and it's so technical.
It's so
really not sexy. Mm-hmm. And I'm there, and Ben goes, hey, man, this is weirding me out, because it's his sister-in-law that he's known for 20 years.
Right?
And I said, no, it's cool. I got it. I was really into it. I was like, this is beautiful. Oh, my God. Kiss him again. Do that.
Ended up being funny.
Yeah, you know, and just fun.
But it was good. So, yeah, we really enjoyed it. I think we can definitely work together in the future for
That's good. So, I mean, this is something that couples in movies have to deal with, right? I mean, sex scenes, love scenes, things like that. Because, I mean, face it, you know, some people end up connecting. You know, I mean, you were on the set here. She couldn't really do anything.
Sure. But Angelina.
I had just done a piece with Steve Rodman, who's a director and married to Kathy Baker. And I just said, hey, any advice for me? And he was like, yeah, just don't call him honey.
Ooh, yeah.
So I like took that. Like, yeah, you just treat each other like the director and the actor, and then you talk about it later when you get home.
There's so many people. They're really, I mean, I know everybody's heard this, but it's true. There's so many people on set. It's so technical. We're literally like, okay, do, start kissing her again. Okay, wait, move, stop, move camera to the left.
Right.
Right,
you're not
move
really
your
thinking
face
about
to the
that.
Left.
It's like a dance. It's almost like a dance, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
And it's and if it's good filmmaking, it's still sexy.
Yeah. It's a sexy dance.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, for sure.
That's
very
great.
Cool. So, Avery, had you done things before this film? Like that, that
yes.
you want to talk about?
Do you mean like
in film? Yeah, previous work.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm an LA working actor. I do everything that pays that's not porn. Mm. Yes. So
that's my bumper
sticker.
That's
a good rule.
Yes, that's my little Twitter handle. Yeah, lots of guest stars, Grey's Anatomy, ER, NCIS, Dawson's Creek, Joan of Arcadia,
you just did a Colony
Criminal Minds.
Or
I just did Colony last week. You know,
she's really great theater actress, too, and a few years ago set her mind to be a part of the L.A. theater community, and she's won Ovation Awards for theater.
Fantastic.
She's been in chorus at the Rode Theater. She's a member of Antias. So she's awesome. She's an actor's actor, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And so, she's a mom, by the way, of
yeah,
two children, full time.
She's a total hottie, by the way. I'm looking straight at her. She looks great. That's amazing.
And this is
after. Thanks, guys.
So you're a mother after infertility problems?
So our story is kind of part of what has sparked a lot of this. Our first son is 9 years old. Didn't have any trouble having him. The trouble was, are we going to have kids in LA? But then when we decided to have the second kid, we didn't have him quite as easy. Went to the doctor and found out they said right away, you're going to need help to get pregnant the second time. It was a total shock.
Weird.
So through then we had our fertility times and we went broke doing that too. Wow. We actually foster adopted at that point, a little girl, and had her for about four months from age like 2 months to 6 months.
Wow. And that was the time where we were doing acupuncture, and we'd kind of stopped trying.
We kind of stopped trying. We were just doing some Eastern medicine stuff, some acupuncture, and Kevin and Kristen Richardson had told us about this one acupuncturist that they had seen, and they had gotten pregnant.
Wow.
Naturally. We ended up having to give the foster daughter back to her mom, which at the time was just heart-wrenching and terrible, and it was the hardest thing. But what it actually did was, I think, it bottomed us out.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever decided to bless us, we got pregnant 2 weeks later.
Wow.
Naturally with our son, Kieran, who's now 2.5.
Wow.
So we were really lucky people.
So did the acupuncture work then? Was it?
I think it's a combination of things, though. Definitely the acupuncture worked, and faster than anything else we had tried. But I think just letting go to, and I credit that little girl with a lot of...
Yeah, it's half spiritual and it's half physical, or it's all spiritual and it's all physical. We learned last week from Dr. Paul Turek, who's one of our executive producers, that 23% to 40% of people that do fertility... end up getting pregnant naturally.
Wow.
Yeah, in some way.
That's much higher than I would think.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so it's almost like, and we've heard it a lot, and it's in our film. People say, just relax, stop trying, let go. Oh, our friends adopted, and then they got pregnant right after they adopted.
Yeah.
And that was always the story. Well, nobody that's going through fertility really wants to hear any of that. Nobody wants to hear... be told to let go.
Yeah,
and
relax. Yeah,
right. And when you see the film, that's we hit that straight on to say shut up.
Yeah,
about that.
Like you don't want, like as a woman, I hate when men go shh. It's almost like I'll kill you.
Seriously.
Well, I think that what you just did shh is like why the movie's doing so well.
Mm.
It's because it's in 2008 was declared a disease, an actual disease. 1 in 5 men gets care for infertility of some kind. And it is like there's a third of infertility problems are men, a third is women, and a third is a combination of both. And I think most people think it's mostly women.
Absolutely.
And then it does have to do with age as well. But the film kind of gave an entire community permission to talk in public about what's going on with fertility in the world right now versus these closed communities online, right? And that goes with the sperm donor world as well. It was just like all of a sudden there's there's this entertainment thing that's out there where now we're public and we're on social media with everybody else. And so that's why there's been such a blitz, I think, because it's like this whole community of people suffering in silence about mm-hmm. what's going on.
They're sort of aching to talk about
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did you guys get exposed to the black market at all? I mean, how did you... Did you personally get in contact with this?
Well, like Rob was saying, yes. Kevin had seen the 2020 episode
right.
on it.
Right, and that's what got you...
That's what started it.
Okay.
And then I was doing research online to try to talk to somebody that actually did it.
Mm.
And that was a little harder than I thought. Facebook.
Always.
Now, Facebook, we met a gentleman named Joe Doner, and he shared his story and wow. Was a consultant with us on the film. And just that first day, I just remember going, oh, okay, this is real.
Wow. And is their benefit the money that they get paid, or is it to help? Or
it's free.
It's to help.
Whoa.
It's to help, and it's to have sex with women behind whoever's back. I mean, it's half super shady and freaky and scary, and it's half...
altruistic.
Wow! Very interesting. So now, and this is called the black market. I mean, what is there anything illegal about it?
It is. It's actually illegal.
Is it?
So we termed it black market fertility. By the way, I should trademark that.
Hashtag.
We were on the red. Fertility. We were in the red carpet in Nashville, and we had Sharon Lawrence. I don't know if you know.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Sharon Lawrence from NYPD Blue. She's on Shameless. Getting ready to be on Shameless now. Jim O'Hare from Parks and Rec. He's in our film as well. Lucy DeVito, Danny and DeVito's oldest daughter, is in our film. So we were sitting on the red carpet in Nashville getting ready to be interviewed, and Sharon Lawrence said, I need something to say. I need a term or something. What are we going to say? And I
hashtag
black market fertility. And that's
smart.
So online underworld, I mean, it's like Craigslist. It's like Match.com, but it's fertility. And there's no money. There's some shady things happening money-wise, but the point of it is that they don't have the money.
Right. The point of why they would go through that
is because you don't have the money. Joe Doner charges $178 to ship his sperm wherever you want.
Wow.
That's really just to cover his costs.
And in the fertility world, that's like the cheapest thing.
Yeah, it's nothing.
People do that and I've dropped that. Yeah.
And we're still talking to him today, and it's half exhilarating because it is illegal, and I'm not 100% sure what part is illegal.
The adultery, I imagine.
There's paternity stuff, so they have to stay anonymous because they of paternity cases. The guy that we consulted with had at the time 30 children out there and a wife and kid that at home that didn't know he was doing it.
OMG.
Wow. That's what our movie's about.
OMG.
Yeah. And so
people think
crazy
that they hear a fertility film and they're like, I don't know. Yeah. And then they see our movie and they go, oh, this is a movie.
Wow.
This is a film about something real.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to discuss and show in the film about this stuff. You know?
Sure.
I mean, obviously, probably even 35 minutes wasn't enough to tell the whole story.
No, that's what
I'm telling. But at least you managed to get the gist of it and put it together as one product.
It is, and I think, again, we're really lucky because the fertility community is blessed this film. They are excited about it because it's a cautionary tale. Mm. They're saying, see, you don't want to do this,
mm-hmm.
but what it does is it helps people realize what women and couples are going through in silence. Think about if you lose a parent. You were talking about being at a memorial service. You lose a parent or a sibling or something, or you get in a major car accident. These are things that you tell people mm-hmm. that reason why you're going through a kind of a hard time this year. Mm-hmm. But nobody goes, hey, everybody, guess what? This is the year we found out we couldn't have children.
Yeah.
And we went through, we poked and prodded with needles and spent $100,000. It's taboo.
Yeah.
And so we kind of feel like the stars have aligned that we can get the word out in this. It's much easier for us, and we've said this all along the way. Number one, it was our second child we were trying to have a baby with. We can't imagine how much more stressful it is for couples trying to have their first baby, and we know them.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we got pregnant naturally. Mm-hmm. So it's, and Kevin and Kristen, by the way, the same exact thing. There's a story out right now on ET Online. People, they're doing a story on Kevin and Kristen's fertility because of all this. Mm. And we were talking with them the other day and said, it is easier for us to talk about because we ended up getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Like if you don't get the results, it's not as easy to open up about
if,
it.
If we were sitting here right now with just our older son and we had given that girl away and not, and it would be so much harder for mm-hmm. us to sit here and talk mm-hmm. about it with by being broken people, but we're very blessed to have had our kids. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that does, so we hope that because of that, we can start getting the communication out there, getting the word out. It's literally, when she says they named it a disease, there are states that cover fertility. In Massachusetts, you get 6 rounds of IVF on your insurance as a part of your insurance.
But there's only 15 states that cover fertility, and it's a disease.
Wow. Yeah.
So we're trying to kind of help. That's part of our cause, and that's why the fertility community has rallied behind
And they're
us.
Like a rabid online. I mean, they know. My cousin is an accountant at Shady Grove Fertility Center.
Oh, sure.
And it's like they organize. Those people know what they're doing. I mean, they have to work at the highest of stakes, so they know how to get the word out. So that's great.
We're friends with all of them now. Actually, yeah. I think we're talking to some pharmaceutical companies right now that are going to sponsor to go to the fertility conference, like where there's 10,000 professionals up in, I think it's in Salt Lake, and they're going to try to screen the film. And so we'll take that. That would
be So let me ask you this. So you said in some instances they actually have sex together in order to do this.
There's three different kinds. There's NI, AI, and PI. So natural insemination, which is where you have sex. PI, you have sex with your clothes on. Or AI, which is artificial insemination, and they just put it in a cup. And
artificial insemination, though, you have to go to professionals to do that.
No.
No?
No. So artificial insemination is turkey baster.
Wow.
That's all it is.
So some of these procedures will work for some people and some they won't. So in our case, and in the case of people that use sperm donors online, they need good sperm, right? And that's one half of the population out there. So for that case, he can just ship it. Or they meet in Starbucks. Mm. And by the way, the largest community of people that are utilizing this are lesbians.
Mm.
So, but they go to Starbucks, they meet in a hotel, and they'll stay in a hotel for 2 days, and while the woman's ovulating, guy will come down and bring samples, and it's just using a syringe or a turkey baster, and they're just doing it that way. That's AI.
Wow.
The NI, or natural insemination, is they have sex with you to get pregnant. It's just, and you have to believe that the success rate would maybe be higher with that because of the hormones and the whole natural aspect of having sex with somebody would open fallopian tubes more and all that kind of stuff. So
the question is, though, when you just get the sperm, you don't know who you're getting it from, right? I mean, you don't know the background of the person,
but
their
genetics. Community is saying, but that's exactly how it would be if you had a one-night stand or
that's
if you
true,
it's very
huh?
true,
you know, like, and you got pregnant, it would be the same. That's their
rationale.
Argument for that. And it's a trust environment.
Mm.
And most of the guys are pretty open with giving medical records or, you know, showing photos from when they were a kid or just telling them anything that they want to know about their history and their background. But you are going off of trust.
Very interesting that people do that, you know, not just for money.
Mm-hmm. That's what's when you said it's free, I was like, my mind was blown. I'm like, is it just altruistic or is there some kind of like fetish aspect of it?
I think both.
Okay.
Depends on the
character
guy
we're developing right now for our show is that it's both. It starts out altruistic and then when you're doing it on the sly, that already there's something that's going to get dirty, right?
Yeah, there's some fetishy feeling around it a bit.
Sure, Joe wouldn't mind me saying that you know, he gets to have sex with women in all varieties, types, colors, class, and I think he kind of gets off
on it. Totally.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But
he's
very committed to, I wanted to have more children and my wife didn't, and this is a way
I can
have more of my family that I'm creating out there.
So
on the
Game
planet.
Of Thrones,
right. But they don't. But the family doesn't know this particular person.
His wife and kids don't know.
Wow. They don't know.
No.
Wow. I mean, that's like, I mean,
I would say that he's not the only one where that's happening.
No.
Oh no, there's a. He speaks a lot in we. we are doing this. There's a community of men that are out there kind of doing this, a subculture of men that are doing this. It's, you know, it's not any crazier than a lot of the other stuff in this city and where else.
Yeah, but there's crazy walking next door, right?
And there's fertility specialists right in Beverly Hills with creating babies and petri dishes. And, you know, you can, when you have IVF, you have fertilized eggs that you may not use and you keep on ice, so to speak. And then people end up donating those to people that need them. And you're adopting embryos. And
wow.
It's the lines are cloudy.
It's very fluid right now, this industry.
So fluid right now.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people in this country, this is really interesting, that is taboo. That goes against their religion, right? And the creation of humankind and stuff. But you know what? People in churches and synagogues are having the infertility problem too. Mm-hmm. And so it's starting to be a conversation where surrogacy is okay to do now, or, you know what I'm saying, adopting embryos. It's all very scientific.
And my friend said she could pick man, a boy or a girl now. Mm-hmm. They could ask for a boy or a girl. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the future is now.
Yeah, and you're picking the date that you're getting pregnant. And you're, yeah, it's very selective.
Very weird.
Hence
very
the reason the movie's called If I Could Tell You.
Yes.
Because it's all hush hush.
And you guys can find out more about the film at ifikouldtellyoumovie.com. You can find out about the cast and is there a trailer on the website?
Trailer's on the website there. Okay. There's a couple of behind-the-scenes videos that we've put together, one on black market fertility, one on just kind of what the film's about. Social media, we are Twitter. We're at IICTYmovie.com. And Instagram, though, that's what Ben is always pushing. We're at If I Could Tell You, just straight up. If I Could Tell You on Instagram. Yeah. We have a pretty great social media campaign happening, and my brother's behind it.
Nice.
I'll appreciate that.
That's
Ben
very
Clyde.
Cool, yeah.
Ben Clyde.
What about the rest of your siblings? Are they into film, any of them at all?
No, it's really interesting. We, coming from Virginia, we're both very, our families are, we're very conservative. And I think our parents wish we were accountants that lived next door. just so they knew that.
Absolutely.
Just so they knew we were taking, our bills were taken care of. And it's got to be stressful for parents whose kids try to make a life in Hollywood and they can't pay their bills, whatever.
My father had a heart attack when I'm like, I'm going to be a stand up.
What are you thinking? Well, yeah. Right? Yeah. So my brother, is in Virginia. He's actually a minister. He has a church in Northern Virginia, a very cool, hip church called Headway. Uh-huh. And I have a twin sister that's in Santa Barbara. She's a PE teacher and a mom. And then a sister in Roanoke, Virginia, and she's a mom, and her husband is a, I don't know what he is.
Online he's, sports.
He's a lawyer and a sports guy, and he makes that work for him. So yeah, Ben and I are the ones doing the entertainment thing, and it's all catapulted. There wouldn't be any Clydes in entertainment if it wasn't for Avery. She's the catalyst. She's totally the catalyst. She knew she wanted to do this, and we're just following along.
Awesome. And Avery, what's in the future for you guys? What is the next project? Do you guys already have one?
Well, right now it's pitching the pilot.
Right.
Which has got good legs. So hopefully we'll be back here talking to you about that.
Yeah, what's your dream network for this? What would be the best place?
HBO.
Yeah, that's
right. But I mean, everybody says that. So now today, though, Netflix would be
awesome. I was
going to
say Netflix would be rad.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're open for business. So we have a pitch ready to go. We have people we're talking to right now to turn this into a TV show. We think it's got legs, but...
Yeah.
So
are you, are you more interested in film or TV? I mean, do you have any preference there at all?
For me, as a filmmaker or as a producer and a director, I'd rather be in TV right now. TV, to me, is where the art is happening.
It's amazing now.
Movies, you have to be there's a one in a cycle film, I think, that is an art piece that is truly intelligent that makes it, you know, that gets popular.
Right.
Television is where the real characters are being developed. It's a 13-hour movie each season as opposed to 2 hours. And so I'm not saying I wouldn't want to make movies.
Right.
I certainly want to do movies. If somebody said right now, let's make If I Could Tell You into a feature film, I think we would in a heartbeat. But I think we're more excited to do the TV series.
TV seems so much more brave right now, too. Mm-hmm. I'm just more, like, fascinated with it.
And it's accessible. It's just so accessible to the audience.
Totally.
And you can be more irreverent. It's so funny, but because of Netflix, because of HBO, you can push the envelope. This is a story that we say is taboo, but America needs to know about it because it's happening in their Starbucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with a show like Transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So Transparent is pushing the envelope and awakening America to the fact that there are transgender people out there that are people too, mm-hmm. and they need to know what families go through mm-hmm. in this situation. That's all we're trying to do is
show culture,
show culture, shine a mirror on culture and say, look at who you are and look at who's around you. And,
it's spreading into pop culture because like on Real Housewives, I know this sounds stupid, but pop culture wise, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she's now Instagramming her IVF journey. And she's not one of the smart ones. But I mean, like, it's so interesting to me that like even she's now it's filtering. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, like we're talking about it on like Real Housewives.
So and it's interesting because you are talking about Real Housewives with rich Beverly Hills white people.
That's right.
Joe Doner's main clients are poor African-American lesbians. Oh. So it's totally a different, it's the same issue mm-hmm. with different solutions because of the way that our culture
Price
and society
point.
Is set up. Yeah.
Right. And many different ways to deal with it, I guess. You know, I mean, people will either, people will adopt, they'll foster kids, they'll go through fertility clinics and so forth, and some people just prefer to go this way.
Sure.
It's just a primal instinct to be able to replicate yourself.
Right.
You know? So people will do whatever they need to do to make it happen. Whatever
right.
their obstacles are, they'll get around it.
Mm. Right. So you guys have two kids now?
We have two
yes.
kids.
Awesome.
9 and 2.
Wow.
And that's half of it. To raise a family in this town and both of us are, since we don't have jobs, we own our own business in the sense, and we're making it. We love it here.
We're freelance.
LA.
We're always looking for a job.
There you go.
We're Angelinos now officially, so that's good.
Very good. And you're part of the culture now. You've created a film,
that's
you
right.
know?
That's right.
There you go. You've got something to actually show. You know?
That's
you've
right.
got something solid here.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So if you guys want to check out more, it's the film is called If I Could Tell You, and you can go to ifikouldtellyoumovie.com, find out everything. I see there's the cast, everything about that you want to know about the movie, obviously. And yeah, if you're a Kevin Richardson fan, you'd love that. He will be there. By the way, I told him, I said, we have his picture out here. I'll have to show
oh,
you.
Oh, is that right?
He's been here once, yeah.
Awesome.
He's so, back. Backstreet's back.
Backstreet is back again.
Yeah.
They're recording right now in Nashville. That's why he's actually not in L.A. They're recording their next album.
Right.
Yeah.
It's grown-ups. They're not boys anymore.
No, they're not boys. And it's actually their last album was their 20th anniversary. They did a whole documentary film, and it was very fascinating. Wow. I mean, I'm too old to be a Backstreet Boy fan, and I'm too not a teenage girl. And he knows that. But I really came to respect their artistry and what they accomplished by watching their movie. It's I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's the Backstreet Boy documentary. Really fascinating.
It's like when I said Never Say Never, the Bieber one.
Yes.
Like, I make fun, but that is fascinating stuff.
Oh, I know.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And I love Backstreet Boys music.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Oh, what the hell?
Literally,
you know?
I could be like, my feet could be like aching and I'm at a wedding and then Backstreet Boys come on. I'm like, everybody, let's
on the
go.
Floor.
Yeah, yeah.
That is so funny. Yeah. One other thing on our website, by the way, is links to our kind of community partners in the fertility world. So there is tons of links on our site for people that are considering fertility. There's lots of counseling options, and there's different companies that will help you know if you are ovulating or all these different kind of things. There's charities that help people start families and get the information. I wish we would have known more about it before we just jumped into a fertility clinic and said, let's do this.
And now it's all accessible, a little bit more accessible for people.
It is much more accessible. So that's on the site.
So, and there's like, what's the word I was looking for? I don't know, but there's, a stigma. Is there a stigma to actually being infertile?
Are you kidding? Yes.
Yeah. As a woman?
It's really, really high.
Really?
Have you ever had anybody on your show talking about infertility before?
No.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. You know, just the people just don't talk about it. They really do. And it's an epidemic that's an actual disease that affects, you know, half as many people that have diabetes have infertility. Half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every time I bring infertility up into a group of friends, if I'm out at a bar, three of them will say something that I had no idea that they were going through for years. And it's every time. It's never just one or two. It's three or more.
Yeah.
It's different. I mean, the stigma for men that are infertile is that you're not a man. You're not a real man. You can't get your woman pregnant.
That's
your
true,
guys don't
huh?
swim well, whatever. Yeah. It's just literally for men, that's a problem. I think that characteristic is breaking down. There's great books out there that guys are writing, and they're willing to be self-deprecating and say, what the hell? For a woman, and watching it from my point of view, the first line is, the first thing they do is tell you that you're broken.
Yeah.
Wait, there was not a problem an hour ago, and now I'm broken.
Fully broken.
Something wrong. And I am determined to prove you wrong in that I'm going to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Something instinctually does grow in a woman at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different. And then, like she said, the other third are couples that them together just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that... how do you deal with that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
On a,
I have a friend going through that where they can get pregnant and they can't stay pregnant, and it's like it's just not working between the two of them.
Ugh.
How do you do that?
I don't know. You talk about it. I hope that you have somebody that you can talk about it with, and know that you don't. What we don't know is the exit strategy.
Yeah.
Nobody knows like how to. In our film, the couple has officially had the talk. We're not going to try anymore. But she then is. She's going to give it one last shot.
Mm. Sounds good. And on that note, folks, Rob and Avery Clyde, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you so much for having us.
Great. We wish you a lot of success with the film. It sounds like you put in a lot of yourselves into it.
We did.
And your life and efforts and all that. So we congratulate you on that. The movie is If I Could Tell You. And check it out online. And where's it shown? I see something that it's shown this week.
That was earlier this week.
Oh, that was earlier this week.
But again, okay. I think iTunes, you can get it on iTunes right now.
Yeah, just get it on
if
iTunes.
I could tell you, Google Play,
Amazon,
and just search for it online. And internationally, you can get it on our site.
Sounds good. I'm going to definitely catch it.
Yeah, me too.
Guys, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Joining us.
You're welcome.
All the best to you. Tori, have a great weekend.
You too.
And we'll see everybody on Monday.